Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the Brexit with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Eric Snodgrass from AgriBull will be here to discuss the weather forecast and its impact on the Corn Belt. And then we'll start Commodity Week a bit early so you can hear the whole of the program with Matt Bennett and Kurt Kimmel, Chuck Shelby, and Sue Martin, and it all happens right here on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay with us if you can all the way through the hour for Commodity Week. If not, you can always listen to it right now online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available
support
to WILL
AgriGold,
by University of Illinois
Extension.
Celebrating
their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
On this Friday afternoon, futures finished in Chicago lower for the day. July contract and the corn down 2 3/4 at 384.5. The December at 394.25, 3.5 lower. Next year's March 3.5 lower at 401.75. May down 3.5 and July corn down 3 cents at 409. Soy complex July beans down 21.5 cents, finished at $11.03. They traded below 11 bucks. At $10.99 on their low price for the day. The August down 22, September 22 3/4 lower. November beans at $10.78.5, just off their lows at $10.72.5. That settlement at $0.78.5, down 23 cents for the Novi beans. January at $10.76.5, 22.5 lower. The March down 19 1/4 at $10.48. May down 17.5. July beans 16 3/4 lower. Bean oil off 76 cents. The bean meal down $7.60. July soft red winter wheat up 0.5 cent. The December down 1.5 cents. And the hard red July down 5 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago $2.25 lower in the June. August down the $3 limit at $110.85. Feeders in the August at $139.65, down $2.72.5. And lean hogs for the July contract 37.5 cents lower at $83.90. That for 100 pounds. You're listening to Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. August crude oil, $2.33 lower. Ethanol up 0.3 cents per gallon at $1.59.5. Gasoline in the July at $1.52.6, 7 7/10 lower. Heating oil down 6 1/10 at $1.46. And natural gas at $2.67 1/10, 2 7/10 cents lower. That crude oil, by the way, down again $2.18 at $47.95. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off more than 500 points at 17,365. The U.S. dollar is up 1.833 at 95.36. And the gold futures at $1,316.40 are up $55.20. By the way, the British pound is down just about 8% and has been since about 10 o'clock last night. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Still partly cloudy, a high of 85, some clouds this evening. Those will give way to mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 66 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 91. Saturday night, partly cloudy. A scattered thunderstorm or two, 50% chance of rainfall, 72 degrees the low. Sunday, an 80% chance of rainfall, and we'll go to a high on Sunday of 88 degrees, and then things begin to clear out and cool off. Monday, 92, not cool yet. Tuesday, we'll have a high of just 79. Both those days under mostly sunny skies, and on Wednesday, the same thing. We'll go to a high of just 81 degrees.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
This is the closing market report for the 24th day of June. It's a Friday. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Mike Zuzalom. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Mike, hey, thanks for being with us. I'd first like to know what your initial thought was when you learned last night that the Brits had decided to exit the European Union.
I think we were all sitting here thinking that the market, at least, was thinking, Todd, that this would not happen, and they were pricing in just the opposite. The fact is that since it did occur, I would classify it as a black swan event where it's very unpredictable at this point. It will, I think, essentially increase volatility all the way through to the June acreage and stocks report next week. Computer trading will probably add extra volatility. And with the black swan event, it's unpredictable in nature, and it can lead to worsening effects on the financial markets. And I think a banking crisis is something the market's most worried about. It's not necessarily going to occur, but I think the conditions are ripe for it. It's like a tornado where the conditions are very ripe for a touchdown. If a negative feedback loop develops where the market continues to fall upon itself, and we have a quick drain of liquidity, and I hear the banks again are getting hit the hardest in the immediate aftermath. So it's not necessarily going to be something that is long lasting. That depends on how long this negative feedback loop lasts, if it develops at all. But I would be watching the banks especially. I think it's kind of a 21st century Boston Tea Party in reverse. The British essentially said to the EU, we don't want your immigration policy because we don't see any good things coming out of it. And I think that was probably the reason the market didn't understand why it happened, and the reason why it did in fact happen as a result of these immigration policies and issues. And many have likened it very similarly to the strength of the Trump campaign here in the United States. It's a populist mindset starting to brew here, centered around jobs and centered around immigration.
What do you suppose the next economic implications in this process might be?
The gold, the dollar, and the crude oil are all going to be extremely important to how it plays out in the agriculture sector. I looked at the S&P indices as I got into the office this morning, and I went back to where we hit the 2009 lows in the stock market and in the commodity markets too. And Todd, it's pretty interesting because while the S&P equity index is up about 309% off of its highs or off of its lows from 2009, grains are right where they were in the S&P grain index. Agriculture is only up about 10%. And that's mainly because the livestock is up about 38% from the 2009 lows. And so I don't think agriculture has as much to worry about as the crude oil market or as much as the equities market especially. But if the crude oil continues to go down on a strengthening dollar, the dollar breaks out of a channel, say at the end of next week, and on a monthly close for the month of June, I'll start to get more worried. I think this is where, again, because the computer trading today and the indexes and how the crude oil and the dollar play so heavily and kind of spread whatever their trend is all over the place to all the different commodities, it's certainly concerning. But I'm not ready to say this is it for the grains. And I would say any missed rains in the ag sector would help compensate, I think, quite a bit for this kind of an event, as long as that negative feedback loop and that financial banking crisis does not occur.
Where is the top end of the channel for the dollar?
It's around 98.75, and that's on a monthly closing basis. We just got done testing the major support on that channel right around 92 even. We tested it last month. We tested again this month, and this is why in the outside markets, other than my concerns about the Chinese and the Brazilian economies on the emerging markets, we were looking pretty nice in terms of the weaker dollar stimulating demand for the grains.
Let's switch topics. What are conditions like in Kansas today? Are you worried about the weather?
Yeah, we are, and we showed up on the drought monitor. I think, Todd, if you drew some lines from Davenport, Iowa, over to Omaha, down to Atchison here on the Missouri-Kansas border and then over to St. Louis and filled that in, you'd have the heart of where I think substandard yields in corn and beans are in place at this stage. If we don't get rains, and I just sat down with a new farmer here west of town, and he said, my stuff's holding up. My beans actually look worse than my corn. But if I don't get rains here this next week, I will have some serious damage on beans especially, and he'll be more worried about trend line or maybe below trend line yields on the corn as well. So we have a large section of the Corn Belt not out of the woods, but the USDA's crop conditions this past Monday suggested that we're on track for a 2014 corn yield by taking good to excellent 4 points above where we were last year at this time. And I think that's the heart and soul of why the corn broke so hard this week.
So we have some in the Corn Belt that are waiting for a rainfall, others that have a good crop, at least at this point. But it all comes down to total production, and that points us, I suppose, to the reports next week.
Yeah, I think you bring up a big point heading into the acreage and stocks report. If we would see the corn acreage number drop some, I think that would help soften the blow to the crop conditions report. I'm at 165.5 on a national yield right now. I feel very comfortable with that. By taking the corn below 385, 390 area, and even before the Brexit being around 395 in the December futures, that would suggest to me the trade is back up above a 170 national yield, penciling in a 2.1 billion bushel carryover, maybe even a little more. So I don't think we have a bumper crop nationally growing like we did in 2014. With what you said is correct, there are areas of Illinois and Indiana that think they can do what they did in 2014. And I realize that, but I think this area is large enough, especially in the next 5 or 6 days, that we could have some significant yield loss and a national yield drag as a result of it.
Is there any reason to be fearful of the downside in the soybean market?
Well, I mean, this is where it goes back to the acreage report, too. I think the bean-corn ratio now hitting its highest levels since late 2014, the new crop beans 2.8 times premium to the December corn, puts a lot of pressure on the soybeans to get a good report next week. If we would see a surprisingly large acreage increase by USDA, that's where I would think that the bean-corn ratio could unwrap itself, and it hurts the beans more than it would the corn. Like most reports we've seen these past few months, Todd, it looks like to me the trade's back to buying beans and selling corn, thinking that the corn crop is made while the bean crop won't be made for another 30 or 45 days.
And finally, Mike, you've alluded to them just a bit, but do you have actual numbers for next week's acreage and grain stocks reports?
Yeah, for the acreage numbers, I'm coming in right with the Bloomberg acreage estimates. 92.65 is my estimate for corn, 83.4 on beans, and 50.2 on the all wheat. So very close to the corn and bean average on Bloomberg, maybe a little high on the all wheat. I feel like the spring wheat number is going to be a little bit bigger than maybe what the trade's thinking.
Thanks for all the work, Mike.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
You're welcome, Mike. Mike Zuzlow of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass from AgriBowl joins us. Thanks, Eric, for being here. It's been a really interesting weather week.
Well, Todd, we've had a very active week in terms of severe weather. We start all the way back on Monday. We had a line of storms that came through Champaign-Urbana area, doing a lot of damage to our local corn crop. On a Tuesday morning, I went out and saw corn laid over, almost snapped right above the root ball. So some pretty serious winds we had around here, approaching 70 miles an hour at a time. All of this was kind of initiated by that large ridge in the jet stream that's kind of parked out to our west that we've been talking about now for a couple of weeks. And that ridge, basically as the flow goes over the top of it and kind of comes into the trough that's been trying to set up along the eastern half of the country, well, that flow often produces repeated thunderstorm events. And that's what we've been seeing for most of this week. Some of those thunderstorms have been quite severe as well. We've actually had 422 reports of severe weather. 22 of those were tornadoes, many of them coming Wednesday into Thursday. So with these ridge-riding storms setting up, some locations have been getting rain that desperately needed it. Think eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, and parts of Indiana, all getting precipitation that they need for this growing season. But there have been some locations that have been missed. When we kind of take a look at the precipitation of the last 15 to 30 days, what we're seeing here is that parts of western Iowa, southern Illinois, and large sections of Missouri have really been missing out on the precipitation. Now, at the same time, these same regions have been receiving lots and lots of heat. Granted, most of the corn in that region is not yet to tassel. We're not even approaching pollination just yet, but still, they've seen some heat stress in June. So the bigger question is, what are we expecting the heat to be doing over the next couple of weeks? Well, here's the short-term forecast. We've got more heat coming through the Midwest all the way through Monday. So we're going to be having way in the upper 80s, lower 90s through a big chunk of the Midwest. So prepare yourself for another warm few days. But beyond that, we're expecting a deeper trough to set up across the Midwest. And with that trough, we're going to see some cooler temperatures. So we're going to return to the lower 80s, potentially maybe for a few days here at the end of June, being 5 degrees or so below average. Now, we haven't seen temperatures below average since the very start of June. So it's been warm for quite some time. Now, as a consequence of the forecast of this cooler weather that's coming in, the corn markets have really responded. Between the cooler forecast, Brexit, and some of the stuff that's been going on with the Fed, we've really seen a change in the price of corn, but a lot of that's been weather-driven. When we kind of watch this pattern evolve, this is what we're seeing. Through the start of July, we're actually going to see that trough in the eastern half of the country kind of stay in place, and as a result, we're going to have a cooler start to July. When I say cool, don't be thinking like we had in 2014. I'm talking still seeing some 80s, maybe a couple of days where we're in the very, very upper 70s, but it's not going to cool off like it did in 2014. Now, when we start to look beyond that, what we're starting to see is the presence of another ridge building across the middle section of the country. And if that ridge builds in, say after about July 8, 9, or 10, sometime in that time frame, that ridge could bring some heat back into the middle part of the country. And when it does that, it could really add some heat stress as we're getting into the main pollination part of the season for corn. We're also expecting over the next 10 days to not have nearly as active as a pattern in terms of severe weather or also in terms of precipitation moving across the eastern parts of the Corn Belt. So again, keep your focus. If you're looking kind of big picture across the U.S., keep your focus on what's happening in southern and western Iowa, parts of northern Missouri, and southern half of Illinois. These are the regions that have been stressed for water and at the same time have been seeing some heat. So some adversity. But overall, it's been a pretty decent start to the growing season for 2016. But keep an eye on what we're expecting to see in mid-July. Because if the ridge does set up, and it sets up at the right time, we could be introducing some heat at a very sensitive time for the corn crop. We'll be watching this very closely to see the evolution of the next weather pattern after this cool-off ends.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Snodgrass, of course, is with Agribolt, joins us on a Friday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, I recorded Commodity Week. We'll bring that program to you now. Our panelists included Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting out of Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, along with our special guest, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. After getting a list of items that each of them wanted to discuss, we started with the one I found of most interest. Matt Bennett wanted to know if the highs were in for the season for new crop corn. I asked Sue Martin if that might be the case.
I don't think they are. But I think we're in for, well, we've already had a healthy correction. We had been expecting a high here. A lot of times the 24th week of the year, which is the week that has Father's Day in it, will be a good cash selling time. And we got that, and the corn making a high last Friday, barely taking out the previous high by, what, a half a cent or something like that. Just didn't look like there was following through with some good momentum. The market right now looks like these corn, for example, like it has a double top. We took out December corn, 2016's corn high of last year in July. That was 446 and three quarters, and granted we got up to 449 and three quarters this year for that same contract. So we made a new high. But as far as year in, year out, these corn, we did not. At the moment, that looks like a double top. And last year, we fell 50-some cents. Today, it was 53 and three-quarter cents. And we did it in straight fashion. Both of them look very similar. So the key will be how can we, you know, between now and maybe the 5th of July or so, we have some timing around the 5th, which is ironically also around the 4th of July when we typically will put highs in. But basically, we're thinking there's a low in there, and then the market catches. Now, that's without knowing what the quarterly stocks report and the plantings report says. But we think you put a low in there, and then we get a renewed lift. And it's that lift that we need to see how we're responding and why we're lifting as to. But we think there is the potential of a high. And part of what's driving our feeling about this, you know, never say never in the world of high finance, but in years going back, ending in a six, and, you know, going back through our data of 100 years, looking at a year ending in a six for corn, we find it's pretty consistent, even better maybe than beans. And a year ending in a six, we've only had one of them that put a high in the first half of the year. That happened to be in the year month of May. And the others were all in the last half, three in July, two in August, which were kind of late August, two in September, and two in December. I'm wondering if this is a year that maybe our high comes even later than I was originally thinking, that maybe it's more of a December high.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out from the rest of the folks, too. Chuck Shelby, I want to come to you at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. You're a farmer, and I'll get Matt in as well on this one. What are conditions like in your area? Sue's a little bit worried. Their crop, though, looks good. How about yours, Chuck?
We've been fairly fortunate, Todd, to receive some timely rains. Last night was a good example. Fortunately, south of Lafayette, we got some rain, but it wasn't the excessive wind and storms they had north of Lafayette. They had a pretty good crop going up that way and flattened by some major winds. So I guess I would look at it. It's very variable. You go down south of 70 in southern Indiana, southern Illinois, extremely dry. We got some farmers in northern Indiana that would be the same way. So I think to Sue's point, when you look at the national average yield, that we've been shooting pretty high the last couple of years with the variability around and some of this heat stress, we certainly wonder if we can make that kind of number. We could still have a good yield, but overall conditions around the country are pretty variable. And when we factor in what the acres are going to be, that's certainly going to be important. And that might be a factor next week that turns this market around, too.
Have you talked to Sherm Newland, who you work with, about his crops and the area there? I know he was awful wet near Hudsonville, Illinois, had a late start to the growing season, and I think he's turned out pretty dry at this point. That usually doesn't spell anything good for a crop.
No, in Sherman's area, and you take that back into parts of southern Indiana, they had to kind of force the crop in. And then when it turns off, your root systems are certainly compromised. And we've seen that up in different areas of Indiana and even Ohio. Ohio has struggled. They had to push the crop in. Fortunately, a fairly good chunk of Ohio got some rains. But, yeah, that's where we come back to. It's one thing to get the crop off, and it looks pretty good when it's small. But as you go forward, another point about this crop, your greatest moisture needs for corn occur as that crop starts to pollinate and ear fill. And we haven't got to that point yet. So some of these rains that are coming in the Western Corn Belt that the market is kind of sold off on, that may be enough to get it by, but really the critical time's coming as we move into July.
That's Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joined us yesterday during our recording of Commodity Week. It's up online now at willag.org. More from that show in 2 minutes.
It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plough died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to Agricultural Programming from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at WILLAG.org. We now continue our conversation with Kurt Kimmel, Chuck Shelby, Sue Martin, and Matt Bennett. I asked Matt Bennett what conditions were like on his farm.
Well, we missed out on all the rain this week. We haven't really had any. You get west of me. I think you kind of draw a line from me up to maybe Decatur and then Peoria. There's not a lot west of there. Some of that, I've got a buddy in Elkhart not far from where your guys' farm is, and he had some that got rain and some that didn't. So where I'm at, we didn't get any rain, and corn's been rolling for, 10 days. And so, we didn't have we had too much moisture in the spring where we don't have adequate roots. I think that maybe some of the secondary roots are doing their job at this point. But, this morning whenever I drove into the office, at 9 o'clock, it was 88 degrees and corn was rolling. So not all of it, but quite a bit of it. And I think that, it's concerning. We're probably within a week on most of this corn of pollinating or at least shooting tassels. And so the clock will be on pollination. We certainly hope to see some sort of weather event, some sort of precipitation in the next 10 days maybe, but our chances really don't look very good. So from the corn standpoint, we're pretty concerned at this point, especially on the lighter ground. The blacker ground seems to be handling a little better. Soybeans look pretty good. We're a long ways away from being terribly concerned about them. Most everyone's got all their beans in the ground. There was a little bit of spotting in due to all the rain that we've had. But for the most part, bean crop seems to be off to a fairly good start, but it'll obviously need some water to be able to put some growth on here moving forward.
For my part here in Champaign County, crops look really good in this part of the world of Illinois. This week I had 1.9 on Wednesday morning and 2.3 on Tuesday morning. At the farm you mentioned there for me in Elkhart, I only got 1300s. On the first morning, and I think maybe we added up to about 5 to 7 tenths in total by the end of the week. Bloomington probably was the garden spot, I suppose, Kurt Kimmel, in the way of the way the rains came through. What'd you get this week?
Yeah, we've actually been doing quite well. Earlier we've received, half, three-quarters type inch rains. This past week here is anywhere from 2 to 3 inches, so we're quite fortunate here. The good excellent category reading in this local area here is going to be high, and especially in the dark soil. Now you start getting a lighter soil, there's some problems, and Matt kind of hit on, especially you move here on west to the river, the internet pictures, social media pictures with the dryness, is a lot of that is coming from that region, and they're really struggling, and they've gone even to irrigating beans already in some locations to try to help that crop along. Now, you take Bloomington Normal North, fairly good shape. But the thing I think that the trade's kind of missing in here, and Chuck kind of hit it on it, is wind. I know they build a lot of windmills around, but there's been significant wind damage. I know you get up around that Pontiac area. We had, and even north of there, we had some tornadoes, but seems I'm picking up a lot more wind damage than we've seen in the past in here, and that's really a pain in the rear end when you start to see it this early in the season.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on Illinois Public Media. Find the whole of Commodity Week online at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the program include Matt Bennett and Kurt Kimmel, along with Chuck Shelby and Sue Martin. Sue, I'm wondering about the high winds you've had. They've been dry, but I don't think they've been really tough enough to manage to damage the crop in your area of Iowa.
No, not at all. The crops really in my area do look good, and I think they look good even going towards Des Moines. It's just that I'm wondering how much longer they're going to stay looking good when you consider that we've been warmer than normal compared to what we normally would be in the month of June. You know, I've had people tell me they've only had like maybe 0.3 inches for the month of June. Others are telling me they've had 1 inch. On our farm, we've had about 2.5 inches for the month of June. And June is one of our wettest months. So I'm wondering if this heat starts to re-ramp up again once we get more in towards July. I'm just wondering how well this crop's going to stand up to it.
Kurt Kimmel, this brings me to the point you wanted to ask the question about, which is what are the production prospects at this point? Most people would say they probably are short, even if they've had rainfall. They're still short rainfall. I know in Elkhart on the farm there, which is Logan County near Springfield, just to the north of Springfield, probably 3.1 for the month of June. Not too bad, but still about 2 inches behind normal for that area.
Maybe visit the guys. You know, in some of these areas, have been missing rain. You know, they're kind of down on their yield prospects, and majority maybe taking the top end off. As long as the good to excellent category stays in this, you know, 72% to 75%, I think they're going to continue to look at some good yields. But we move into July, and this heat starts to pick up again, and we've already used some of these moisture reserves up, then you can start to say, well, we've seen the best good to excellent readings for the year and start to see some deterioration as we go through the rest of the growing season. So not this July report, but from then on out, you could probably see the yield prospects for corn start to drift lower as we move forward.
Chuck, you have thoughts?
Well, corn plants set the number of rows around when it's in this smaller size, so the trade doesn't understand that. So when you look at areas that have had moisture stress, you're already hurting your yield when you're not going to have the number of rows around. And then as we move into the pollination phase, really if you hit some hot weather there, that's really going to impact pollination. And the final phase of corn production is ear fill. So if we're short on water and we add more heat as we get into July, a crop that looks really, really good now, very high rated, can end up being disappointing. But the problem with the market is that's all so far down the road, and we needed to get into, you know, down the road in July to see how those corn plants have responded.
So we all are thinking that we need to wait a bit to see what happens. The next step on this path is Thursday of next week, when the acreage and the grain stocks reports are due out. They'll come out at 11 o'clock on the last day of the month. What are your expectations, Chuck, and which one are you more concerned about?
Well, I think the acreage number is going to be the key focus of this market. A lot of anticipation that we're going to have as high as 3 million acres switched over to beans away from corn. That's certainly going to impact things, what that number is. And then one thing we've been watching closely is the demand side in the quarterly grain stocks. We've had excellent export demand. That's another component of this market. It's not the highlight of the market right now. Certainly it's the weather. But there's certainly in our minds been some acreage switch over to the soybeans. To quantify that number, that's what everybody's going to be anticipating come next week.
Matt, any thoughts here on the acreage switch? If there has been, you should have a good feel for it, I would think.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking acreage, I think total acreage, you know, in my opinion, will go up. I think we're going to see less prevent plant acres this year, going to get some acres from wheat. I feel like there's been a fair amount of acres that's been lost between corn and beans. You know, whenever I look at the acreage, to me, they were rich on corn acres in the March report because, you know, those numbers were taken as of the first of the month, and soybeans did nothing but rally. And, of course, you know, there were some areas where we had wet weather. And so in those areas, if you rally the soybeans a dollar and corn stands still, to me it tells me there's probably a reasonable chance you're going to lose some acres there. So, you know, if I was going to throw some numbers out there, I think what I put out with Bloomberg, I was saying around 84.5 on soybean acres. Corn acres, I'm probably in the camp that probably lose around 1 million acres from the end of March number. Just I do think that we had switched some acres over, but again, I think total acres are going to be up.
Sue Martin, do you have targets?
Well, I think that when I look at beans, I think that the switch in acres, I'm looking for just under 1 million acres having switched. So I'm thinking there'll be a little bit more corn than what some are thinking. The big thing, I think, between the bean acres, looking for what may have switched, I think the other thing is going to go shift over to the export side of things and the global stocks on beans and corn. Taking South America into account will tell us more what the USDA is thinking on their production, because we've heard Argentina, the corn, even today, Buenos Aires Grain Exchange increased the corn up to 3 million metric tons to 28 million metric tons, and the beans just a little bit from 57.6 up to 58. So I'm curious to see if the USDA accommodates that. And in the meantime, our corn demand has been way better than what the USDA had expected.
Grain stocks report, Kurt Kimmel, is one of the things that will be coming out on Thursday. This particular report, the third one for the fiscal year or the marketing year, is usually a little hinky. It moves pretty sharply from one side to the other, often surprises the marketplace. What are your expectations as we make our way towards it?
It is a benchmark to look at. Bean stocks probably near this 840 million bushel area. Corn stocks around 4.5. But, you know, on the demand side, you factor in better export and better usage. All of a sudden, you have this old crop bean carryout closer to 300 million bushels, new crop bean carryout around 160, 175 million bushels. And even on corn, usage comes in strong. You've got old corn down to about 1.7, and this, you know, new corn below 2 in a fairly fast fashion here, just to, when you go through the numbers and factor in better demand than what the trade was looking at 3-4 months ago.
Okay, now I'm really interested, because this is the second time on a Thursday that I've heard a number for the carryout for new crop that's below 200 million bushels for soybeans. Matt, Chuck, and Sue, where do you think that is at this point? I'll start with you, Chuck.
I would say that we're using them up faster than the USDA had always anticipated. In the last 5 years, they've been pretty much behind the eight ball. I think that number can be closer down to the 150 level, because they're using a really high yield. And if we have just a little bit of weather down the road, that impacts that that bean number pretty significantly as far as carryout. 1 or 2 bushel reduction in yield, still a great yield, but that tightens it up down in there. So I'm in a camp that we are lower and have been for quite a few years, but it's starting to show up, and the number really is under 200 somewhere.
Again, looking forward at the new crop carryout, Sue Martin.
Well, I'm under 200 as well for the new crop. I feel that before this year's all said and done, we're going to, of course, beans tend to handle heat better than corn, but I tend to think that our bean crop is going to be jeopardized with some heat. What I'm really wondering about is come fall, and if we continue to see this pattern of, since we've already had a named tropical storm here in the month of June, and we continue to come back and we pick up more speed with more hurricanes, tropical storms, and what have you. I'm wondering how well the Delta's going to do getting their beans out this year.
Yeah, I don't differ from these guys. I'm definitely under 200, and just echoing, you know, what a couple of them have said. I think usage is phenomenal. The people that I talk to, they're in the origination business, are having a hard time coming up with beans this year than what they ever thought they would. And so, you know, I think that our carryout's just going to continue to dwindle. And then as far as new crop goes, obviously highly dependent upon what these beans do this fall on yield. I think usage is excellent. We've all agreed upon that. Obviously, export sales have been nothing to scoff at. To me, most of your forecasters have been in fairly decent agreement that your late summer weather was where the biggest threat was. And so, you know, we already have a fair amount of areas that's got issues, and the temperature is definitely higher than what most of us would prefer. And so, in my opinion, I think that's where your biggest fear is that we're going to have major weather issues to finish off this bean crop. And if we do, obviously, it's definitely under at some point you're going to be trying to ration demand.
And just as a reminder, in the June WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, USDA put the new crop soybean carryout at 260 million bushels. That was down from 305 in its first estimate, which came in the month of May. So we'll be looking forward to that. I think I hear all of you telling me that you have some concerns about weather yet for the rest of the season. That's not unusual, but it seems to me that you may all be telling me that you're more concerned about it than farmers, I think, are at this point. And it may be that the 50-cent move lower in corn just has them a bit depressed at this time. But are there things that farmers can look forward to still this season, Matt?
Yeah, you know, in my opinion, you know, we're a long ways from making the crop. Obviously, most people would really like to be in the Bloomington area where, you know, they've got more moisture and what they know what to deal with, because these warm temps aren't near the concern. But if you look at the precipitation map from this event this week, definitely a lot of people left holding the bag. And so, you know, yes, we've corrected. Whether we're going to make new highs or not, as Sue has alluded to, you know, I don't know. It's a tough call. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think that this weather market is completely done yet. We definitely have quite a bit of ground to cover before we get to feeling really good about things. I think that if we're sitting here in 3 weeks and we have enough people in as good a shape as what they're in today, I think the highs are in, but that's 3 weeks from now. So it's pretty tough to know at this point. But, you know, from a producer's standpoint, I definitely wouldn't get too hasty just yet. And I'd wait and see what this weather looks like going into the weekend and next week, because as we know from last week, things can change pretty significantly over the course of a weekend.
Chuck Shelby, as a farmer and a broker both, I assume that you're pushing the pencil on what you have in crop insurance and what your sales are. How concerned are you about bottom line revenue for the coming, for this marketing year?
Well, I think we've seen a big improvement in the bean price, which certainly helped a lot of guys out. I think we've seen the corn price come up to some profitable levels. The difficulty is in all this is seeing if it's going to last and stick. And the other component that we've all talked about during the course of today's discussion is, it's really tough to be an aggressive seller, even though you're profitable, when you're not certain how your crop's going to turn out. You see these forecasts coming. It's always hardest at this time of the year to make some decisions, but I think we finally got some opportunities, some prices that maybe we can work with that give you more flexibility than when we started out the growing season.
And how do you take advantage of them? Do you still do something with soybeans?
Yes, I think so. I think if you're a producer, there are some fairly inexpensive put options that would create a $10 floor that we would have thought impossible as we started to plant those beans. That's one method. And the other method, I guess, if you're going to go ahead and sell cash at some of these levels, if you haven't done anything, then some kind of call option to protect against the longer term weather as we move into late July or mid July and August.
Anything for corn?
Kind of same strategy, Todd. again, it's a good example of the crop north of Lafayette. They thought they had a good crop, gets blown down, certainly going to impact their yield. Or you look down where Matt and Sherman are, they're really struggling, not even knowing exactly what's going to happen. So you got to have some flexibility. If you're in a good area, like over where Kurt is, maybe some forward cash sales, and not too worried about, you know, maybe the upside, save some bushels. But if you're in a bad area, you really the only way you can do it is something on paper to protect the downside till you know more about what your crop's going to be.
Anybody else have ideas about what should be done?
This tough part of the marketing as a producer this time of year, because higher prices are generated by smaller supply and smaller yields, and that's always real stressful to work through that. But I agree with what Chuck said, stay flexible and capitalize on some of the ideas. But I think the wild card still in here to help the farming community out is the speculative interest in the grain market. And I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. So whenever you get these guys in buying it, it's to your advantage to look at some of these flexible marketing programs to take advantage of these up moves, because they're going to probably ride this thing clear into this fall.
I think that one thing that has really hurt the corn market here this week is the fact that, one, you have a seasonality tendency to buy wheat and sell corn. And you hold about the middle of the month, and you hold that till the latter part of July. Then you get away from it, and then it turns around and goes the other way where corn gains on wheat. And then by the latter part of August, go back at that. And that thing is working very similar. That spread has been working very well. So I think that's part of the selling on corn. I think the Brexit vote, when the clearing firms raised margins 200%, the funds that were heavy into corn here recently, and then all of a sudden are hearing super yields in wheat in the harvest, which is coming back to haunt the corn, I think that along with the raise in the margins, caused some funds to say we need to get out of the corn to keep our money shifted where we need it best, in be it whether it's gold, silver, bonds, T-notes, dollar, pound, you know, you name it. And I think that enhanced this break as well. But it is what it is. It's broken 53 cents just straight down like it was a knife cutting through butter, you know. So I think that when we look at these markets, a farmer that is selling grain, and of course you guys are a little more blessed than we are in the Western Corn Belt, our basis levels are not that great out here. But what we're telling people is check your basis. If it's not as good as it could be, then do your marketing through hedge to arrives, and you know, then your elevator margins it for you. You get an opportunity to roll it maybe once or twice. But the thing is, keep that basis open, because, for example, out here, it is so poor, you have nothing to lose. And if we get into that weather market like some are talking, then by the time we get in towards harvest, those elevators are going to be and commercials are going to be trying to lock up as much grain as they can get before it goes into the bin, because they know farmers won't part with it very easily until next spring.
Matt Bennett, your marketing thoughts, and then your final thought for the day.
Well, I think from a marketing perspective, as you know, we started selling when we felt like our producers could be profitable in their own individual situations. And soybeans, obviously, we started plenty early, but they were at profitable levels, so I don't mind being wrong on those initial sales. We're up 40% of APH, which I feel is a fairly conservative number, but we also have floors underneath a fair amount of the rest of those beans. When you look at corn, we're 25% of our APH. You know, we didn't sell anything till we got above last year's free insurance price of $4.15. We don't feel any need to do anything at this point. You know, in my opinion, we're a little bit early to be in full-on panic mode, but I can assure you, as Chuck was saying, guys in my area and Sherman's area, where they're getting awfully dry and the market's dropped 50-some cents, some are fairly close to full-on panic mode. So I'm just trying to kind of talk, you know, talk them off the ledge, if you will, and let's give this thing a little bit of time. It's still early yet. And we're not going to push a situation that's on most people's operations, especially the high input ones. They just simply can't be profitable at these price levels. So we're kind of in a wait and see mode. And I think my final thoughts would be, this a lot of people got weather this week. It got a fair amount of rainfall in areas, and I'm happy for them. I think there's enough areas that have been missed, and there's enough producers, in areas, especially west of Mississippi, that I've talked to producers that say that they're in dire straits. And so, I think that there's probably more fireworks to come with this market, and I don't really want to get real aggressive on sales until I feel really comfortable either about my production or about my profitability at the level the prices are at.
Matt Bennett, of course, is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal. Your final thought, Kurt?
Yeah, kind of like what Matt said there. I think you got to stay flexible in through here and stick to a plan that fits your own particular situation. What's good for you might not be the best interest of the neighbor. But overall, we got a lot of growing season in front of us. We got a lot of weather forecast to come at us yet, so we got the volatility up there, and it's going to stay very well juiced up until we at least get into August.
And from Webster City, Iowa, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services.
Well, I think the best thing I can say is that the market has been very swift and very down pricing, and probably more swift than we would have expected in corn. We were expecting this kind of power on the beans to the downside, although beans started to kick in a little bit late today. But yet, if you go back and look at similar years, you get these swift moves, and then all of a sudden they catch because they overdo themselves too soon. And then we catch a nice bounce back up, and even if we don't make higher highs, the market gives you a reprieve to have the ability to come back. Options have been a great tool this year because they didn't have a lot of volatility in them priced in early. And so options have been giving us some really great opportunities this year to protect ourselves with and give us peace of mind at the same time. We still look to options, and I think that I've been asked many times, will beans have a new high? I think that's going to have to take some weather to give us that. For corn, if we come up and we now take out that double top at that 446, 449 and three quarters level, you take that out, you roll this whole range over and project it up. But there's these huge gaps, and they haven't been filled yet. And once we start getting through these tops, they'll be like a magnet, and it'll just keep drawing the market higher and higher. So I'm not ready to throw the towel in on corn yet. I have to admit, when the market downsizes like this one has, it sure makes you wonder if the top hasn't been put in, but I don't really think it has.
And Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
Well, I think we need to be a little bit patient. If we look at last year's market, we didn't think there was much of an opportunity. And I think one thing we're watching for is the ability of the demand side as time goes on. So if you're a producer and you're in one of those areas, you're not confident what your crop's going to be, if we get some good price opportunities, we might take advantage of some of that in some method. But I do believe as we go forward into the end of the year and the beginning of the next year, the demand side of the equation is certainly a supportive factor. So be patient. Try to pick your battles. It's going to be a long time before we know the answer to this. And try to hope for the best with your weather. And going forward, there are some opportunities, I think, yet to come.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find the whole of our program always online at willag.org, along with archives of previous programs. Our panelists today have included Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting out of Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana.